All right. Well, I got to be honest with you. If I was there at Niagara Falls and he asked me to climb into a wheelbarrow as he pushes me across a tightrope across the falls, I probably would not be the one raising my hand saying, yeah, I'll go. All right, that's just a little bit beyond my risk tolerance there, right?
I don't know. Rick says, nope.
Yeah, there's no way he'd even think about it.
Nope.
I think most of us would probably be in that same situation, right? Well, how are we like that with Christ? Are we saying, yes, Lord, I trust you. I absolutely, you can do this. By all means, I know you can. And then he asks us to get in the wheelbarrow and we'll say, wait a minute, I don't know about that. And so knowing that God has a plan and trusting and relying on God in that plan is a big difference. And so as we talk about God's plan today, keep that in mind. Think about where you are personally with your relationship with Christ. Are you standing on the banks as he's walking across that tightrope, or are you in the wheelbarrow with him guiding you? Hopefully, we're all in that wheelbarrow, trusting Jesus Christ and trusting our Lord. So the focus scriptures this morning are actually my wife, Amber. She loves Jeremiah 29:11. That's her favorite verse, and it's a very common verse for a lot of people. It's their favorite one. If you walk into our house, you'll see these scriptures posted on our wall. And it's just a reminder of the faith and trust that we have in Christ. So I think we're going to be serenaded with song this morning as we proceed. All right, so Jeremiah 29:11. Very, very common verse. If you ask a lot of people what their favorite verses are, a lot of times they'll say this. And a reason for that is it provides comfort, a peace of mind of knowing about the future. People like to have that feel of knowing where they're going and being able to trust in something. And so let's read those scriptures again, and then we'll get into our message. 29:11-14. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Bow with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you this morning just thankful to be able to worship you together. Lord, thankful for knowing that you have a plan, that you have our goodness in mind. Lord, I would ask that you would just help us to open our minds and our hearts to you this morning. And Lord, just please speak through your message. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. And so if I had a crystal ball of what the future was going to hold and knowing what all was going to happen, I could probably make a lot of money on that. I could probably pick lottery tickets. I could probably do all sorts of things if you knew what the future held. And so we're all like that, wanting to know kind of the future. And I'll give you an example of this. It starts at a very young age. Our daughter, she's six, and she's in kindergarten. And my wife, Amber, she's also a substitute teacher at our kids' school. And every morning while we're getting her ready for the day, she asks, "Mommy, are you going to be at school? Are you going to be teaching? Are you going to be volunteering then? When are you going to pick me up?" And all this information. She likes to know what the plan is for that day. She likes to know the expectation of knowing what's going to happen. Well, why is that? A lot of that is just for a peace of mind, trusting and knowing what was going on. And my daughter likes to have that peace of mind, just like we adults and Christians like to have that same peace of mind. And so in youth group in the mornings, we'll read a section of scripture, and then we'll kind of go back and kind of break it apart. And I normally quiz the youth students and say, well, hey, what's this word mean? What's this word mean? What's this word mean? And they get frustrated at me because I ask so many questions. But the idea is if we can break down scripture into just certain passages, a lot of times we can understand the context and meaning a little bit better. So I'm going to ask you guys a series of questions. There's going to be three questions. And with any question, there's an answer, right? And so this is where you guys get the opportunity to answer back, okay? Now, we did this in first service, then they aced it. I mean, they just knocked it out of the park. All right, so no pressure, but we're going to ask you three quick questions. So the first one is, God has plans to do what to you? Hint, it's in the first verse. God has plans to do what? Prosper, right? So God has plans to prosper you, each and every one of us. He has plans to prosper us. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm saying that as soon as you become a Christian, your bank account is going to have $2 million in it. Okay, that's not the type of prosper that we're talking about here. He's talking about a prosper in the name of Christ, that he will guide us and that he will protect us and he will watch after us. And he will get us through anything and any trial and tribulation that this world has to offer. And then at the end of this, it culminates in the glory of being able to be with our Christ in heaven. And that's the type of prosper. So you guys did good. All right, question number two. God says that he will not do what to us? He will not harm us. Good job. And so God has plans to prosper us, and he will not harm us. And so I've heard oftentimes before that, you know, how can you worship a God that that doesn't like people, doesn't like actions, doesn't like this, and he's just so controlling, and he'll wrath over people and hurt people and harm people? No, God does not do that. It says very clearly in his word that he will not harm us. In fact, he will actually prosper us. All right, so final question for you this morning. You got two so far. See if you can go three for three. What will these plans from God do? So if we know he has plans to prosper us, he will not harm us, what will those plans do, or what will those plans give us? A hope and a future. And so in times of tribulation, in times of change, in times of not knowing what's going on, he has plans for good, not to harm us. And those plans that he has can give us a hope for the future. We don't have to rely on ourselves. We don't have to rely on the rest of the world to have this hope, to have a future. We can just simply trust in Christ. And he is faithful and just, and he will give us a good, hopeful future. And so all of this is great, but how do we discover these plans? The beginning of those verses says that if we seek after him, right? And so we play an active role in this. We have to actually seek after Christ, strive to be more like Christ, reach out to him, pray to him when things are good and when things are bad. And all that we do, seek after Christ. And so sometimes whenever you're in a transition or going through something or whatever it may be, sometimes you kind of feel lost. It's natural. It's a human way of just feeling, you know, God, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't know what these plans are, and I'm really confused. And then once you get through that time, having faith that God will get us through, and you look back, you're able to see, wow, God put this in my life. And then God did this part. And then God did that part. And he was guiding me all the way through this transition. So sometimes when you're in the heat of the moment, you don't realize it. But looking back into the past, you can see how God had your hand every single step of the way.
So one of the nice things is that we have a book that we can go to that is filled with stories and people that went through trials and all these things, and we can see how God worked through those things through his book. We can see that he walked with those people. And even though the trials at time may have seemed insurmountable, God was still there with them. And so we look at our past. Now understand, it is okay to look to the past, to have assurance. It is not okay to live in the past. We need to move forward. But the past gives us the assurance that God is there with us. So how are we going to do that today? Well, today we're going to take a look at the history of Fairlawn Baptist Church. And the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the different pastors that have served full-time here at Fairlawn Baptist Church. They're actually listed on the screen there. And this does not include any interims or anything like that who really played some pivotal roles within our church as well. But let's start at the beginning. And actually, at the beginning, our first pastor was part-time. His name was Floyd Tidsworth. Floyd Tidsworth was our area missionary at the time when Fairlawn began. And he started with us, but he also had other responsibilities. But he's the one that helped Fairlawn get established. Our first full-time pastor was Tom Lang. Tom Lang was actually the pastor that baptized me many, many moons ago, and we won't talk about how many. All right? But Tom, while he was here, Tom, if you take a look at what his role was while he was here, he taught us doctrine. He taught us what Baptist doctrine was and gave us that foundation to stand on as a church, as well as the foundation that we needed from the Bible. Sam Crawford followed him. Sam was probably the pastor that taught us how to minister to each other and how to love on each other. While Sam was here, I had a kidney disease that I ended up in Columbus. Who followed us up there? Sam Crawford. Who came up a little later to see how we were doing? It wasn't a phone call. Sam came up to see how my parents were doing and how I was doing. Sam sacrificed a lot so that he could love on his church family. David Dockery was next. David was the one that took us through our first major building program. Before, all we had was the old sanctuary where the children meet right now in that two-story wing. David helped us expand, and we added on the educational wing. David just continued Sam's work, but he was different, and he had the organizational skills to get us through that time. After David, Don Yeager came on board. Don Yeager, if you take a look back at his time here, Don was a mission-oriented pastor. He gave us a swift kick in the pants on what we were doing as far as mission giving and also going out and getting our hands dirty doing missions as well. At that point, I was in charge of the youth group, and we did mission trips and were able to go different places and do different things. Don was able to do that for us. Then after Don, Bill Reed came. Bill Reed got our church to think outside the box. When Bill actually left Fairlawn, we had just planned our first trunk or treat. It rained that night. Thank the dear Lord above, because we underestimated. Was it about 400 people we had here that night, I think? And we had enough candy for that, but it wouldn't have gone much further than that. If it would have been beautiful, oh my word. But you know what we had people do? They asked us, said, who's your pastor? And we said, we're actually in between pastors right now. And their response was, why are you doing this? Just because we don't have a pastor doesn't mean the church shuts its doors. Just because we don't have a pastor doesn't mean that we don't still have a mission to fulfill. Now, Bill Reed also took us through a time where we had to stand up for ourselves and say who Fairlawn Baptist Church was. That was a strained time. It was a painful time. But God saw us through that, and God used Bill to do that. And we're who we are today because of that. And he played an important part in that. Greg Varndell comes. Greg continues that idea of thinking outside the box. If you went into Greg and you said, hey, I've got a new ministry idea here. I'd like to see how this is going to work. Greg would say, that's great. How can I help you? And you were in charge of it. But he would help you wherever you were at and in the process, and he would allow you to take that. We had our first sportsman's expo underneath Greg. And many, many other things that we've been able to do while he was here, and they were new ministries. And then following Greg was Jason. And I'd like to be able to tell you that I can put my finger right now on Jason Spade's ministry here. But we're going to have to give it some time. I can tell you what I think right now, but God's going to reveal that to us 2-3 years down the road. And we'll be able to look back and say, this is the reason why God had Jason here for this time at our church. And God has another person in mind for us that's going to take us into the next chapter. We've taken a look at the people. Let's talk about the church itself. Fairlawn Baptist Church, for those of y'all that may not know the history, Fairlawn is actually the third attempt at starting a Southern Baptist plant on the south side of Parkersburg. The first two didn't succeed. And so the missions committee approached my mom and dad, Fred and Deanna Morgan, about starting a home Bible study in their home. Little did they know that God had already been laying on their hearts about what they could do in their area. And so God ended up using that, and here we are today. Also, this property that we're sitting on, if you remember the food land that used to sit on Route 95 that's now Landmark Baptist Church, it's a building for them now. They purchased that. Originally, that food land was supposed to sit on this property. However, through the fervent prayers of God's people and God working in the heart of Mr. Moore, he ended up going to the food land people and saying, we can't continue negotiations. I have a church that has approached me about purchasing the property, and I'm being led to sell it to them. God things. God things. Route 50. Those of y'all that were here when that was going through, Route 50 originally was going to split our property right in half with the original design. Once again, through prayers, through intervention from God, that property now that we have, the way Route 50 wrapped around us, was at the very back edge of our property. We lost a very small piece of property that was on the other side compared to being split right in half. God, once again, provided for us and had a plan. We also used that money that the state bought, that road or the property that the state bought to put the road on, we used that money to help fund part of building this building. God was so good to us. And now let's talk about this past year. Who would have ever thought in a million years that a pandemic, I'd never even heard the word pandemic really until last year. You know, at this point last year, we were hoping that we would be able to get back together for Mother's Day. And we know that didn't happen. But here's what has happened. God has been faithful to us, and you have been faithful to God. I can't tell you the number of things that have happened during this time that all you can do is sit back and say, it's God working. When you go to an auction to purchase microphones and you spend 600 and some dollars on the microphones. And the lady calls your church up and says, "Are you representing a church?" "Yes, we are." "Well, we got far more money from our auction than what we had planned. We're going to give back to the churches." This was a church that did not survive the pandemic. Okay? So they wanted to give back. Folks, not only did we get the money back for the microphones, the total check was $1,900. That's God. And that is a small thing that He has done during this time. God has a plan for Fairlawn Baptist. What do we need to do? We need to look to Him for our future. We need to look to Him and keep our eyes focused on Him during this time. So, what does the future hold?
Well, I'm here to tell you what the future holds. I'm going to pull out my crystal ball. So what does the future hold? So God is currently revealing His plans for our future. If you look back on verses 12 and 13, our job in this and our role in this is to seek after Christ. Seek after what those plans are. Seek for His wisdom, His counsel, His leadership. Let's read verses 12 and 13 again. It says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." So let's stop right there. It says, "Then you," speaking about us, "will call on God and pray to Him, and God will listen to us." And so we have an active role in this. We don't just sit on the sidelines and say, "Yeah, I hope everything works out." No. Our active role is to seek Christ in times that are good, in times that are bad, all the times. Seek Christ first. And wanting to know what the plans for the future are, seek Christ. He will reveal that to us. Verse 13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you." And so He will answer the call. After we seek Him with all our heart, He will answer that call. He's not hiding from us. He's not trying to get away from us or ignore us. He's just waiting for us to seek after Him. And then He is good and faithful and promises that He will answer that call. But we have to seek after Him. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." And so we just want to know the future, right? We just want to know what God has in store for us, how He's going to lead us through these times, what His plans are for us personally, as a church, or whatever. But there's something that we should all realize and know, that for those who love God, all things work together for the good. That means sometimes the bad things. Sometimes it's the good things. Sometimes it's just the everyday life. But all things are working together for His greater plan, for His plan to prosper us, to grow us, to guide us, and to lead us in what we're doing. And so, knowing that God has that plan, let's go back to the Niagara Falls thing for a minute. Trusting in that plan. And so it really puts us to the test. Are we fully committed to God? Are we willing to get out of God's way and trust in this plan? And so I want to give you another example of this a little bit. I don't know, there's probably many parents in here, right? There's probably a lot of parents watching online. And so with kids, our own kids especially, we just love them to death, right? I mean, you love your own children, just you would do everything that you could for. I see a couple of you going, I don't know. But we do. We honestly, we do. And we would do anything for them. sometimes they just have a way of just striking that last nerve. You know what I mean? It's like they know what button to push, and they're just waiting, and they just bing, just push it, right? And so sometimes that happens, I, as a father, I'll admit, I kind of get frustrated, right? And so I'll give you an example. And so there's been some things that I've tried to teach our kids that were really important to me, just things that I really enjoy and I really like doing, and I'm really interested in it. And so I'll be there trying to explain and teach them what this is and explain everything and show the plans of how this works and why this does that and all that stuff. And it's going in one ear and out the other. They could care less. It's not important or meaningful to them. And so I've gotten frustrated about that, and I've said, well, you know what? I'm done. I'm not going to show you or teach you anymore. I'm done. That's all right. Think about our Father God. How many times has He tried to reveal to us the plan? Something that is important, something that is meaningful, something that is good and genuine. And have we always answered that? Have we always obeyed God's guidance and leadership? Have we always followed His plan? No, we failed. But thankfully, our Heavenly Father doesn't get frustrated. Thankfully, He doesn't say, you know, after the second time trying to tell us something, I'm done teaching you. If we ask Him 1,000 times, He's going to do it 1,000 times more. It's because He loves us that much that He wants to reveal these plans to us. He wants to give us that reassurance of knowing that He loves us and He cares enough about us and He has the plans for us. And God working all of these things together, what happens naturally? Because God loves us that much. Think of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins, shed His blood for our sins, something that He did not deserve. We deserve to be up on that cross. We deserve to die for our sins. We deserve that. We didn't deserve grace and glory and being able to be with our Father in heaven. Well, if He does this for our good and our benefit, and He was willing to put His Son on the cross for us, then that proves that His plans are good. His plans are awesome. All we have to do is seek after Him. And then whenever we realize what those plans are, to fully trust in the plan that God has.
First Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom we were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is going to be faithful to us. He will not only be faithful to us as individuals, He is going to be faithful to us as a church as long as we seek Him and seek His will for our church. So Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? A lot of promise there. Let that sit for a minute. Who can be against us? When we try to take these plans and we try to figure them out, and we try to say, well, there has to be this reason, or there has to be that reason, or whatever. You know what? We are the ones that can stand in the way of what God has for us. We can throw up the stumbling blocks. We are the ones who need to put our faith and trust in our Heavenly Father. You know, we've talked through all this. We've been digesting this story that Jason told us about how all this took place and how he began getting the call. And there are some of us that are sitting there going, I can't believe that is the way that this happened. However, if we truly believe that God has a plan, it doesn't matter how it happened. God has a plan. And we either believe that totally or we believe none of it. You cannot be half and half in this. Well, God, you know what? It was wrong the way that they did this, but I can see how God's going to, you know, use the other half. No. He either has it all or he's got nothing to do with it. And I want to believe that I serve a God who is strong enough to use every situation that has ever happened in my life, every situation that has happened in this church, that he is big enough to see us through to the other side. That's my God. Don't try to put God in a box by listening to rumors, by listening to this, that, and the other. Jason told us how this happened. I'm trusting that he is telling me how this happened. And I am trusting that God is bigger than the box I want to put him on that nice little shelf so that I can pack it away. I don't want my God to be that small. I want my God to change my life. I want my God to change Fairlawn Baptist Church. I want my God to work through us and through the other churches in this area to change our community. I want him to work to change. I want him to work to change the world. That's my God. That's the God I put my faith in. That's the God that I believe has all this under control. Look at Romans 14:23. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. From whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. I put my faith in the God that has the plan. And he will reveal that to us if we seek after him and if we pray and if we rely on his word. God's got a plan. He's got this. Don't put God in a box. Let God be God and let him do things that when it's all finished and said and done, that all God's people it can say is, that's my God. And he can do incredible and amazing things.
Let's go to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So a lot about what we're talking about is trust. We started today with the Niagara Falls thing about trust. And that's a lot about what we're talking about. You know, I challenged you all this morning, are you going to be in that wheelbarrow trusting God to guide you across the tightrope, or are you saying, nope, I trust you, but not that much? Like Rick was saying, it's either all in or all out. It can't be in the gray. It can't be in between. We're either fully God's or we're not God's at all. And so the definition of trust, it's used as a noun. It is strong confidence in and reliance upon someone or something, often with the object of trust understood. So strong confidence in and reliance upon. So I'll give you another little story. A couple weeks ago in youth, I wanted to do the trust fall. Okay? I don't know if you know what the trust fall is, but the trust fall is you get two people lined up. And so let's say the monitor here is person number one. And the other person stands directly behind them. And the first person is supposed to put their arms out, stand straight, fall back without bending their knees or their hips. And so straight as you can, fall all the way back, right? And the person behind you is supposed to catch you. Would you believe that not a single U student would let me fall? They wouldn't do it. But I did have a couple volunteers that would let me catch them. And so we did it a little bit, and it was cool. And then what I started doing was I started being kind of close to them. And then I'd take a step back. And they were like, okay. And they'd do it. Then I'd take another step back. And they were like, oh, whoa, no. Move up, get closer. Come on, you got to get closer so you can catch me. And so they trusted me as long as they were in control, right? They were in control of where I was. They were in control of how far they would fall. They trusted as long as they were in control. So we as Christians, are we only trusting God as long as we are in control? Are we saying, God, I trust you, but once it gets to a certain point, I got to step in. I got to make this happen. I got to do my own thing here. Or do we truly, fully, 100% rely and trust God? I've been speaking about Jason a lot this morning. He is showing what it means to trust in God. If you get to talk to him a little bit, everything he knows is here. His family, his history, friends, everything. There's no human reason to leave. But he's trusting God that God has called him to serve somewhere. That is fully trusting. I mean, think about just packing up everything you have and everything you knew and every plan that you had for the future and saying, all right, God, I'm trusting you and I'm going. That is trust in God in action. And it takes a lot to do that, but that is fully trusting in God. And so trust, again, is a reliance on and a confidence in a person. So are we confident in our God? If we're confident in our God, and if we're confident that God has plans to prosper us, and we know that and we're confident in it, then we're going to be likely to trust that plan. And so how much are we seeking after God? How much are we learning to love God? How much are we learning to be Christ-like through reading, through prayer, through dedication of our lives to him? The more we do that, the more we will truly trust God. Scripture affirms the total trustworthiness of God, especially in his relation to promises of his people. If you go back through the Old Testament, the New Testament, any book in the Bible, you can read stories about how God promised his people that he would do something. And every single one of them, he was true. He did. He hasn't been wrong one time. And so again, that gives us that extra trust, that extra reassurance that God has a plan. And so Christian faith is essentially trusting in the person and character of God. And so as we're in a time of transition, as we're going through different things, as maybe our personal plans have changed, are we really trusting in the person and character of God? I want to be found doing that. I pray that our church will be found being trustful of Christ. So whose plan do we trust? She said it right there. If you didn't hear, she said Jesus. So whose plan do we trust? Our plan or God's plan? I don't know about you, but the plans that I've had many times, I've been wrong. God has not been wrong a single time. So if I was a betting man, I know who I should bet on. I should bet on God.
So who will you trust today? Will you trust God? As we come to our time of invitation this morning, maybe there's some folks here that have never trusted God with their lives at all. Maybe you've never recognized the price that was paid for your life on Calvary, the sacrifice that was made for your sins and for mine. If you have never done that today, today's the day that you can respond to that. And that you can allow Christ to take over your life and start following the plan that God has for you instead of the world. Or maybe you've been trying to run your own plan and not following what God really wants in your life in ways that He wants to prosper you within your Christian life. Maybe you need to rededicate or turn and come closer to Him. We're also going to be having our communion here in just a little bit. And so as we sing our invitation hymn, and if you're still in your pew, just take a few moments to see if God has anything that He needs you to turn over to Him during that time. And then one other thing. You've probably noticed this chair here throughout the service. This chair represents our new pastor. It's empty right now. But we believe God has a plan. And because we believe that God has a plan, we can pray to our Father God right now that He will begin preparing the heart of the person who will sit in this chair and lead us forward into the next chapter that He has written for Fairlawn Baptist Church. I believe, watching the way that God has used past people to sit in this chair, that it'll be glorious. And we can give God all the glory because He has a plan. We remain faithful. Now, the chair is going to disappear for a little while. We'll hear from Jason this afternoon, and we'll know what the plans are that are going to be coming ahead. But probably sometimes towards the end of May, this chair is going to reappear, and it's going to stay here. Because Rick is a visual person. And what I want you to do when you see this chair is I not only want you to pray for our future pastor and his family, if he has one, because we can't answer that right now, but also pray for our pastor search committee. Do I know who that is right now? No, but God does. And we can even be praying for them now as God brings them together to search for His man that's going to sit here. That's the type of faith that it's going to take in the days ahead. There are some of you all that are going to be stepping into roles that maybe you never thought. You need to be praying that God will lead you. Because listen, this guy and I can't do it all. Neither can the church office. Neither can everybody that's in leadership right now. It's going to take us as a church to continue Fairlawn Baptist moving forward, and then we'll be ready for this guy to step in and helm the ship that God is going to bring him here to shepherd. So, the altar is open during our invitation. I'm going to pray. We'll have our invitation. If you want to come down and pray at the altar, if you want to come to Mark or I and have us pray with you, we'll do that. Or if you want to come down and pray at the empty seat for our new pastor, the invitation is open for you to do that as well. And then after we do that, we'll have our time of celebrating communion together. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. I thank you that I know I can put my faith in you and know that you not only have a plan for me, but you have a plan for this church in the days ahead. Father, you have protected each and every one of us in here and brought us to this point today and brought us as individuals and brought us as a church here today. And so, Father, we put our hope and faith in you to the future and what you have planned for us. Father, I pray today that your Spirit would just continue to work in and through us. And Father, that you can make us into the church you want us to be. And Father, the individuals as well, that we can minister and be out in the areas where you have placed us. Father, if there's someone here today that has never accepted the gift of salvation, that has never recognized the price that was paid for them on the cross of Calvary through the blood of your Son that forgives our sins, Lord, I pray that today would be that day. And Father, that they can put their hope and faith in you and know that you've got it. Father, I pray for those that maybe have been going on their own path and, Father, that need to rely on you more, and that today would be the day that they turn more towards you and face you in the plans that you have for their lives. And, Father, I pray right now for Jason and Carmen. They're probably at the same point in the service. And Father, we pray for this church. We pray for them and we lift them up to you. And Father, we thank you for the time that they were here. But Father, you've got a plan. And so we trust that. And we pray that you would just throw doors wide open for them. And that there is no doubt that this is your plan for their lives. Father, help us trust that as a church. Help us to recognize you for who you are, and Father, the plans that you have for each and every one of us, and help us not try to bring you down to our level. You are God. You are mighty and awesome and worthy of our praise. So, Father, as we come to this time of invitation today, Lord, I just pray that your Spirit is working in and among your people. And, Father, if decisions need to be made, that we would be obedient to that today. Thank you, Father, for who you are. We pray all of these things in your name. Amen. Let's stand.
I need most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour, stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power. Every hour I need come to thee. I need thee every hour, in joy or in pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Teach me thy will. Thy promise is so rich in me.
May be seated. It's always fun. I love it when we have to go back to the beginning, but the guys back at the board are going, "Wah!" So, anyway, we are coming to our time of communion. Mark and I met a couple different times, and one of the things that when he and I were talking, we talked about it would be very appropriate today for us to come together as God's church and have communion together this morning. God's got great and wonderful things in store for us. And, you know, we just put our faith and hope and trust in Him. So, we chose Matthew 26. I chose Matthew 26. I said, "Hey, Mark, here's what I'm doing." So, anyway, the disciples, when they came up into the room, you know, they thought that they were just coming up for the Passover meal, didn't they? They thought it was just going to be as normal. But once again, God had a plan. And God was getting ready through His Son, Jesus Christ, to start a new covenant with His people. To no longer did they have to go through a priest that would make sacrifices for them so that their sins could be forgiven. He was getting ready to offer His Son to die for our sins on the cross and begin that new covenant. And that's what this table now, this supper, represents. So, Matthew 26:6. Now, as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for your Son that you sent to die on the cross for our sins. Father, that we take a look at this time, and Father, just realize the price that was paid and what was given up so that we could have this relationship with you in this new covenant that you brought. And so, Father, bless this bread. We ask this in your name. Amen. Take, eat.
So as we come to the next part of communion, we think about the blood. You know, up until this point, every time they had to have a sacrifice, you know, they would take their prized lamb or their prized bull or whatever it was, the best one, not the little ones that needed to be butchered anyway, but they would take the best of the crop that they had. And they would pour the blood out as a sacrifice, as washing of their sins away. Think about that with Jesus Christ. God took the cream of the crop, the best that he ever had, the best he could offer, God himself, and poured out his blood for you, for me, who did not deserve any of it. Instead, we deserve death. And so when we take the blood, think about the blessings that we've been given. And just that the opportunity we have to see our Father in heaven one day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the gift of your Son. We're so thankful for the cleansing away of our sins to where we're not bound by those anymore. To where now we can have a hope of what our personal future is with you in heaven. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. And we can never repay you enough of that. But Lord, we thank you. We love you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Take.
So it says when they finished the meal, they sang together and left. Mark and I promised that if we are in this anymore, that we will not be this long. maybe. You know what? Look at this. Is an old song that I remember singing as a kid. But look at the words. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Stand with me, we're going to sing this. For some of y'all, this might be new. For some of y'all, this is going to be old school, all right? But then we'll leave after this. Go see where God can use you in your ministry field this week, all right? Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. All God's people said, amen. Doug, are you doing tonight? Okay, there will be...